Do I want some? It's somewhere around there. But I reckon I can handle this. I probably know the story. 12, wasn't it? Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, they'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just brought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that in our world it's not really my truth that matters. It's actually your truth. And Lord, we are grateful as people who live in a pretty confusing and chaotic world that we have real guidance. We have a real way and we have a real life. So we want to ask our God that you might use Steve to speak to us about this truth, this way and this life. We also ask that our hearts might be open and responsive to you, that our ears will be open to hear what you're saying. And then finally, we need your grace, our Lord, to live what we've heard, to obey, to behave in a way that looks like the way of Jesus. So this is a holy time. We need your spirit to be present, and we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thanks, brother.
Good morning. Lovely to be here. Nice to see some, I was going to say old faces, but I meant familiar faces because that wouldn't be fair for all of us, really. It's good to be together. Whoa, have I got this too close? It's going on. I just did a quick check when you mentioned how much. I just did a quick database check, and anyone want to guess how much money has come from Unley Park Baptist Church in exactly the last 12 months, from the 14th of March to the 14th of March? That in money, sorry, to Baptist World Aid, money that that we know of, so money that's come out of the church budget, money that's come through child sponsorship, well, anyone that we know is connected, maybe more, because there might be people that give to us that we don't know are connected to Unley Park, if that makes sense, but want to have a guess? $53,000. Well, it'll take you 52,900 and something, but we'll round it up just for today. So that's great. Thank you so much for your generosity. That makes a huge difference to the lives of the poor and the marginalised around the world. And we are grateful. We had a tough year around the world last year, and Australian Baptists have been more generous than ever, which... we were a bit worried, actually, to be really honest. We were worried last year about what might happen in terms of the programs that we run that are supported by Australians, and we had no need to be because of the generosity. It was incredible. So Jason's read that, so I can skip those things. Let's talk about this passage for a little bit. There's some N.T. Wright, the New Testament scholar, says there's three things going on in this passage. First of all, he says that Jesus has been inviting God's people to a great banquet, but many have refused. So that's obvious in the story, right? That's the surface level of what's going on in the story. The invitation's gone out and people have refused to come. It's really interesting because these sort of banquets, big feasts, big celebrations, weren't just sort of, hey, what are you doing tonight? Do you want to come over for a barbie sort of thing? They are planned well in advance. And often there would be like a save the date. You know those save the date things that people do for weddings now? Like, it would be like, we're having a banquet in 2 months' time. This is the date. Please plan to be there. And so all the people that were invited would have known a long time ahead of time that this was this banquet was happening. And yet, when the day came for the banquet, they just found excuses. They found other things to do. It's really interesting that the only people that miss out on the invitation are those who refuse to come. The invitation is open, and the people who miss out are the ones who are invited but refuse to come. Second thing that's going on is that Luke was writing predominantly to Gentiles. We know that. We know Luke's gospel and the book of Acts were written to the Gentile, to the Greek world. And so the people he were writing to were already the outsiders in terms of how the Jews understood the kingdom of God. And so people who were hearing it were hearing it as though they are the outsiders. Hands up here if you have Jewish heritage. You're all the outsiders. We're all outside, and without this thing that Jesus was doing, without this new kingdom that God was inaugurating, all of us miss out. So we read this as outsiders who've been invited in, who have a place at the table because of what Jesus did for us. So that's the second level. And then the third level of what's going on is that N.T. Wright says, and he says this of the passage and then says, and we know that the church took this really, really seriously because of what we read in Acts and the way that the early church acted towards those who were outsiders, was that they switched from being the insiders to the ones who then became the hosts and would invite more people. There was this thing going on in the kingdom of God that once you get a seat at the table, you don't just sit back and recline and enjoy the meal, that there's actually room for more and your job is to go out and invite more. Does that make sense? So there's like these three circular levels of things going on in this passage. Does that work? Oops. It's a bit slow. There we go. So God invites us in. God gives us a seat at the table so that we can in turn continue his mission of announcing and being good news to the poor. In fact, if you read through the scriptures, if you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, one of the biggest priorities God has is care for the poor. And we gloss over that sometimes, but there seems to be this thing that goes on. If you want to understand the heart of God, if you want to be with the people who God most cares for, then care for the orphan and the widow, care for those on the margins, care for the broken, care for those who are hurting. And so that's what we do. That's what you do through Baptist World Aid. Baptist World Aid is owned by Australian Baptists. It's your aid organisation. It's your overseas development organisation. And the work we do on your behalf. And we do it partnering with communities overseas. And you guys have a partnership with Cambodia. And hopefully you get stories from us back about what's going on in Cambodia. But we really appreciate that. And Cambodia is one of those countries, especially right now, that is a little bit difficult. COVID is starting to rear its head in Cambodia. It wasn't. COVID seemed to be under control in Cambodia for a long time. But now it seems to be just peaking. I haven't seen the figures this week, but last week they were getting about 600 new cases a day. And for Cambodia, that's 600 cases of people who get tested and test positive, and people who can afford to be tested. And it costs about $130 Australian to have a COVID test in Cambodia. So you can imagine how many people aren't being tested because they can't even afford to it. So anyway, it's starting to change. I just want to show you this. This is the way Baptist World Aid work is by working with and alongside communities rather than working for them. Does that make sense? We actually work with people. And these are just some results that have come from a project. We do 9-year projects. We move in, we do work with the community, and then we move out again. We are successful. We've seen it over and over again now in lifting communities out of poverty. And these are just some stats from a project in Uganda that was finishing up a couple of years ago. So in 9 years, roughly 9 years. Improving nutrition, under 5 malnutrition rates dropping from 72% to 31% in about 8 years. That's pretty significant. Access to safe water increasing 40% to 69%. Education has seen an increased retention of students in higher grades, especially among girls, for two reasons. One, girls aren't being married off as young because the communities are different, and we do lots of education around child marriage. And secondly, because the families are doing well, they don't need their kids to stay home and work the farm or do other things. Kids are free to go to school. Child protection improved. We do a lot of work in child protection. So child labour is reduced from 56% to 26%. Child marriage reduced from 71% to 29%. That's huge in the community. Child abuse down from 61% to 22%. And lots of reduction in domestic violence due to the socioeconomic empowerment we do for women, but also through self-help groups and saving groups, which I'll talk about in just a minute. So significant changes. We're seeing lots of stuff go on, and then this thing came along last year. You heard of this thing? There was some virus or something that you may or may not have heard of. And things started to change. The World Bank started to say there's actually something going on here that you can read all that. I'm not going to read it all to you, but basically the summary of that is over the last 20 to 25 years, every year we've lifted 1% of the global population out of extreme poverty. That's a 25% reduction in extreme poverty over 25 years, which is really significant. It's actually a huge change. However, World Bank say that because of COVID, all of that was undone in 3 months' time. In 3 months. 25 years of aid and development work undone in about 3 months. 150 million people, they reckon, by the end of this year, end of 2021, will be pushed back into extreme poverty. Just let that sink in. And it's happening in countries that are already poor. So countries where the rates of poverty were already high, they're now getting even higher. Like, there's been significant change, even middle-class people. And by middle-class, we mean, if you look at the bottom line, people that that earn up to $5.50 a day. That's middle-class in developing nations. Those people are now being pushed back into poverty as well. So there's significant challenge going on right now with COVID that's not going to end soon. I don't know if you saw the Australian government yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Scott Morrison and Joe Biden and the President of Japan and Prime Minister of Japan and President of India all agreed that what they're going to do is they're going to release 1 billion vaccines to the Asia-Pacific region by the end of next year, by the end of 2022. After we've all got ours. Make sure we'll get our vaccines first and then we'll release them to the rest of the world. So this is going to go on for a long time still, and this is still having a significant impact around the world. So what we're doing is trying to help communities do things differently. These are just some examples of some of the things we've been doing differently in the last 12 months. We've been doing volunteer-driven remote implementation, which I'm sure you're really excited about. And makes perfect sense to you. We like using jargon. What that means is that our workers in lots of places can't get into the communities for fear of spreading COVID. So not for fear of catching it, but they don't want people who live in cities going out to rural areas where they may infect the whole community. So our workers have been pulling back from that. And so they've been trying to find ways of getting volunteers to train up volunteers in communities to implement some of the programs, some of the changes. And the best picture I've seen of that is in Uganda, where there was one community that we work in that have one person in the whole village that can read and write English as an 11-year-old boy. And so our team over there gave him a mobile phone, and whenever there was a COVID update for their village, they would text him. And there's this amazing picture of this 11-year-old boy standing in front of his whole village that are gathered around with his phone, translating from the English into whatever language it is, Swahili, whatever language they use in this community, and was translating. And he became the leader for COVID in his village because he could read and write and he could translate. So we're doing lots of that sort of stuff, seeing lots of kids step up into really significant leadership roles as well. There's lots of definitions of what poverty is. If we come back to this idea of everyone being invited to have a seat at the table, everyone's invited to the banquet. There's lots of ideas. Poverty could be just not having enough money, but I don't think that's actually the issue. Of course, there's money involved, but the issue is not just send some people some more money and it'll fix it. It's not the lack of resources. It's a whole heap of things. It's about poverty is honestly about broken relationship. Broken relationship with God, broken relationship with each other, broken relationship within ourselves, broken relationship with creation. And we try and work in all of those spaces. But I really love this definition of poverty, that poverty is having a lack of opportunity. Poverty is not being able to even get a seat at the table because of the structures, because of the systems, because of the way society is set up. And I want to tell you a story. Just over a year ago, I was in Cambodia. It's the end of February last year. I was in Cambodia. It was an interesting time in Cambodia. COVID was just starting to be talked about a bit, and we were a bit cautious about where we were going and what we were doing. The Prime Minister of Cambodia, who really is very, very faithful to China, wanted to go to China to show his support. So he was going to fly to China for 2 days to visit Wuhan. That's where he wanted to go. When they were in lockdown, when they were locking, welding, building doors shut, the Prime Minister of Cambodia wanted to go to there to show his solidarity with China. And even the Chinese government said to him, no, don't come to Wuhan. But he was going to go. So he was very blasé about the whole thing. But people were starting to wear masks and people were starting to do a few different things. I was in Phnom Penh Airport on the way home and walking along, and there's this little Cambodian guy who was really tiny and had this suitcase that was almost as big as him, and he's sort of dragging his suitcase along, and he stops in the middle of the airport wearing a mask, and he's huffing and puffing and couldn't breathe properly, and he pulls his mask down and then just coughs everywhere like for about 20 or 30 seconds, and then pulled his mask back up and then picked up his bag and kept walking. And we're all sort of standing around just sort of saying, did we just see what we thought we saw? So it was an interesting time in Cambodia. But what we got to do was visit a number of communities. And one of the communities we visited was outside of a town called Anlong Veng, which is right up in the north, up by the Thai border. It's one of the final hotspots of the Khmer Rouge. If you don't know about the Khmer Rouge history in Cambodia, that's worth finding a podcast or reading a book about. This is a story of complete devastation for country. But we were up there in this village that's surrounded by landmines. As we're going in, there's signs everywhere saying there's still active landmines around, and there are people who've lost limbs to landmine explosions. We didn't see them. They're often hidden in communities. So it's shameful to be disabled, and so they often get hidden away. But we did meet this lady on the right there in the purple cardigan. And we met her. This is her veggie patch. She joined our program 9 years ago. And she was at this place where when she joined the program, she had a few small vegetables. She had three children. All three children now have actually been sponsored by Australian sponsors, so that's why she's part of the program. But she was part of this program. Had this small veggie patch, had three kids who were really sick, missed a lot of school because of because of illness. Part of that was because the veggie pack was also the family toilet, and they had no concept of hygiene, no concept of germs and how to keep themselves healthy. It had a small house that was probably about, maybe 3 metres by 3 metres square, this little rickety place. My friend who was with me, he said, it's like the cubby house I built my kids in the backyard. Like, that's how he would describe it. Just slapped together from old timber, a bit of a roof, a bit of a blanket sort of hanging in the doorway, and just raised off the ground a little bit. And her husband was a seasonal worker. He was a truck driver. He'd travel all over the place trying to find work to get enough money just to keep the family going. So they joined our program, and she learned some agriculture skills and started to develop a much bigger garden patch, and she was very, very proud of. And then after a little while, she joined a savings group. Now, I'm a bit biased about this, but I think one of the best things we do in our community development spaces is we create savings groups. Savings groups are really interesting things because banks in places like Cambodia and other countries are often very difficult to access, can be lots of corruption, high interest rates, hard to put money in, hard to get money out. It's a difficult thing. But because she was part of a savings group in this village, there's a number of villages whose savings groups joined together and now have been registered as the first ever, they call it like a financial association in Cambodia. So they're actually the equivalent of a bank now. And they pool all the money. People put money in each week. There's high levels of trust. You need to understand high levels of trust in a place like Cambodia where families fought against families only 10 or 15 years ago. Family members killed other family members. Trust is not a big thing. So to see people come and trust each other with their money is quite significant. We seed fund that with $300. That's what it costs us. And some consultancy and some help to put it together. So she started putting money in to this savings group, and eventually she borrowed some money out of that to buy a couple of pigs. And she bought these pigs, and she started to breed the pigs and bred the pigs and bred the pigs, and she found out that pigs breed like rabbits. And they soon had this enormous number of pigs, which she sold and bought cows. She has 10 cows there in that picture. You probably can't see them all. She has 10. She had 15. In the end, she had 15 cows. She sold 5 of them for $700 each. And with that $3,500 that she got, she was building her new house. I wish I had a picture of this small house. I had one, I couldn't find it. But it's just sort of to the left of where that is. That's her kids covered up there because we don't go showing off those photos of kids too often publicly. But this is a house that was in the process of being built. Solid foundations, toilet. Her kids aren't sick anymore. They go to school every day. One of her eldest daughter, who's about 14, is a leader in the school school club. She teaches other kids maths and English and Cambodian and all sorts of things. And her life is completely turned around for a small investment of $300, and because 3 Australian sponsors sponsored her kids. We're talking before about this multiplication thing. She said, the church becomes this place where money is multiplied. And that's what we do. That's what Baptist World Aid does. So this is what your money in Cambodia is doing. This is the change that you are making in Cambodia through child sponsorship and through giving to our Cambodian partners. You're creating a space at the table for people who wouldn't normally get one and who now are so far out of poverty that we don't work in that village anymore. We're doing it somewhere else. But all the neighbours of those villages, the neighbouring villages, are coming and saying, how come your village is doing so well? Can you teach us what you've learned? And so the people now, this lady works as a health volunteer, and she goes within her own community and to other communities, teaching them how to keep the house clean, how important it is to have a toilet, a significant technological invention called the rubbish bin, that these communities are clean now, and kids are healthy, and kids are going to school, and the whole community is being changed. from the ground up. And everyone gets a seat at the table. Everyone gets an opportunity. This is a kingdom that we're part of. This is the call that God has for us, that when we hear his call to love the poor, to care for the poor, to go out to the highways and the byways and extend the invitation to everyone, it's not just an invitation to salvation. That's an important invitation. It's not just an invitation to salvation. It's an invitation to transforming everything. And so we're really grateful for your support. We're really grateful for what you've been doing, your partnership with Cambodia and your continued support of Baptist World Aid. I've got some bits and pieces, some stuff out there. If you want to talk about child sponsorship or gifts in wills or other sorts of ways that you can connect with us, then I'd love to chat to you about that afterwards. But I just want to finish by showing you a short video clip. You may have seen this last year. If you are, it's got a link at the end for an appeal. Ignore that link. That appeal doesn't exist anymore, and you could, that link won't get you anywhere. But let me just leave you by watching this and just spend some time reflecting.